Leviticus chapter number 16, and we're going to pick up reading verses 7 through 11 in the middle of this chapter here, reading about the sacrifices and offerings that God was commanding that His people make. And then we'll get over in the New Testament and talk a little bit about the Lord's table. Tonight we observe this four times a year, most often on Sunday nights, the first Sunday night of the new quarter. It's unbelievable that half the year is now behind us, and we're already into the second half of 07 beginning today. Let's stand together, please. We're going to read verses 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. Let's read them responsibly. Please join me on verses 8 and 10. Leviticus 16, 7. And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord, and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat, on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat, shall be presented alive before the Lord, to make an atonement with him, and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. My dear Father, I thank you for the reading of your word tonight. And thank you for all the types and pictures in the Old Testament. What a joy to read about them and then realize they were all completely and fully fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. And what a day we're living in, this New Testament day. We don't have to do what these people were told to do because Jesus did it for us. We thank you, Lord, for that. We gather around this table tonight. May you please draw our hearts closer to Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated.
My country, 'tis of thee I sing, sweet land of liberty, land where my fathers lived and died.
I want to look in here at Leviticus chapter 16, and I want to speak to you for a few minutes tonight on this thought, two in one. Two in one. He said here in verse number 7, and he shall take the two goats. See that? He'll take two goats. We're going to talk a little bit about the subject, two in one. Thank you, dear Father, for this land, the home of the free and the brave. Thank you for those who have been brave down through the years to secure for us the freedom that we enjoy. And Lord, it makes me think, I would really like to should look up the history of that song. Who wrote those words? God shed His grace on thee. Because whoever penned that song, Lord, sure got it right. You've shed Your grace on us. We don't deserve it. We certainly don't merit it. But You have been mighty, mighty good to us as a country. We love You for it. We love You for the cross as well. Thank You for salvation. Thank You for this ordinance. Thank You we gather around this table tonight to remember not those who died on battlefields, but the one who died on that cross tonight. We thank You for Him. As we talk about Him, may our hearts be warmed. Please, Holy Spirit, in Christ's name, and amen. I had the blessed privilege yesterday, about 1:30, 1:45, about 1 till 10 till 2, actually, of explaining the Old Testament sacrifices to the 19-year-old girl who was baptized, the young lady who was baptized this morning. It's just one of those unusual circumstances, just an unusual set of events. We tried to see this girl, I don't know how many times I've tried to see her. Been out to Shabbat, never could catch her there, been other places where they said she was visiting and couldn't catch her. Well, yesterday morning, there's a group of young people that they come in a few minutes late. They sit up in the balcony. They're new Christians. A couple of them have been baptized recently. They come every Sunday. I'm trying to get them in discipleship class, but they're excited about being saved. They got a long ways to go, but they're excited about being saved. And you got to start somewhere. And if we have a church and we can't handle that, I don't know what we're going to do. We better be able to handle that. And not let that change us, but just be patient and love them because they really are. They're excited. And they got friends, and now it's rough. I mean, it's rough. But this girl wasn't saved, and she would sit up there. She would never raise her hand. So by the time I got to Romans 6:23, her eyes were already brimming with tears. In Romans 6:23, I'm talking about a 45-minute like I normally do. And by the time we got to the end, the tears were just streaming down her cheeks. And when we knelt to pray, she just sobbed and asked the Lord Jesus to save her. Boy, I said, Amanda, God must have been working on your heart. She said, oh, I've been wanting to talk to somebody about this for weeks. And God just had her ready. And, buddy, I didn't have to prime her 14 times to get her baptized. And she got saved. She was ready to follow the Lord and believe His baptism. And so... But anyway, during that soul-winning presentation, I had the opportunity to tell her about the Old Testament sacrifices. Boy, if you get the opportunity, use as much of the Word of God as you can. I wouldn't limit it to 4 or 5 verses in Romans. I'd go all over the Word. I'd go as long as they would listen, and I would use as much Scripture as I could. The Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it will cut and convict, and it will bring folks to Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I took her to the Old Testament, showed her the sacrifices, and talked about how those Old Testament sacrifices were pictures of the sacrificial offering of Jesus Christ on Calvary. Now, we read about one such of those sacrifices tonight in Leviticus 16. The sacrifice of two goats did what all the other sacrifices did in the Old Testament. They pictured the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you understand, typology is never in full. In other words, it's not a complete picture. It's a partial picture. If you try to find a complete picture in typology, you'll have to stretch Scripture and you won't get it done. You've got to be satisfied with what it is. What it is, it's a partial picture. Okay? So it's not exact, but it's partial. And this is what these goats pictured. The offering of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. The high priest, Aaron, in this case, brought the two goats and presented them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle. Now, by the way, I should add that this is after he had made a sacrificial offering for himself. So before he could offer for the sins of the people, he had to get a bullock and offer the bullock for himself. He had to apply the blood of the bullock to the Ark of the Covenant, to the mercy seat, before he could ever make a sacrifice for the people. Because that's how it had to be, because he was a sinner like everybody else was a sinner. And he needed the blood to cover his sin like everybody else did. And so he had already made his own sacrifice for himself. And then he went and he took the two goats and he brought them to the door of the tabernacle. The Bible says he cast lots on the two goats. He cast lots. Now, they had the Lord's lot and the scapegoat's lot. The Lord's lot and the scapegoat's lot. Verse number 9 tells us what happened to the Lord's lot, the one on which the Lord's lot fell. And Aaron shall bring the goat, upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. Now, what that means is the goat was killed. He was killed. The blood was taken from the goat, and the goat was killed. The body was placed upon the altar. The body was burned, and then the blood was placed on the mercy seat. Aaron took it in, placed it on the mercy seat in the Holy of Holies, on top of the Ark of the Covenant, inside the veil. And that was a sign that the children of Israel's sins, that the penalty for their sins had been taken care of for another year. So that's what he did with the Lord's lot, the goat that the Lord's lot fell on, the sin offering goat. Now, verse number 10. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. So he took that goat on which the scapegoat lots fell, and he didn't kill that goat, he kept it alive. And verse number 21 and 22 tells us what they did with that goat. Look at verse 21. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, that's the scapegoat, and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send the goat away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. Now, this was a picture of the fact that not only were their sins, the penalty of their sins, covered by the death of the Lord's goat, but their sins were removed from the presence of the Lord. The defilement of their sins was removed from the presence of the Lord by the scapegoat. This was an offering. This was had two different purposes. The sin offering goat was for the price of sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Sin can only be paid for by death. That's the only way sin can be paid for. Somebody has to die. And so the goat died. The sins of the nation of Israel were paid for by the goat, by the death of that goat. But not only did this picture sin being paid for, the scapegoat pictured that their sins were removed. Their sins were put away from the presence of God. So on this day, there were two results from these two different sacrifices. First result, sin debt was paid. First goat. Second result, sin's defilement was removed. That was what the second goat did. That was for 1 year, and then they had to do it all over again. Year after year after year. And every year, each year, these two sacrifices were how the nation of Israel dealt with God about their sin. They were also reminders that one day the Lamb of God would come to be the final sacrifice for sin. That's what those goats pictured. One of these days, Jesus is going to come and he's going to put an end to all of that and be the final sacrifice. Now look over at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. So two goats for two specific purposes on this special day. Two goats, two specific purposes on this special day in the nation of Israel's history. Now we come to Jesus. Now we come to Calvary. And in the sacrifice of himself on Calvary, we get two in one. We get two in one. He did not. He takes care of both matters in one. By the way, he didn't have to stop and make sacrifice for himself before he made sacrifice for you and me, because he was pure and sinless. The only one ever could make that claim. Amen. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27 and 28. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Jesus Christ was offered in death on the cross as payment for our sin. It is appointed unto man once to die. Why? Because men are sinners. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Folks, the reason we have an appointment with death is because we have a sin nature. And that is the only way which our sin can be paid for. The wages of sin is death. Not only the physical death, but then the eternal separation from God forever in the place that the Bible calls hell or the lake of fire. That second death that we read about in Revelation chapter 20 and chapter 21. That's how sin is paid for. There has to be death. Now, this is what we remember tonight when we pass the bread. We'll take the bread in just a little bit, the unleavened bread, which is a picture of a body, the body of Christ without sin, and we'll pass it down the pew, and you'll reach in and you'll take a little piece of that unleavened bread, and you'll hold it in your hands for a few moments as the ladies play some songs about the cross and the offering of Jesus Christ, and maybe we'll sing a little bit, and the little piece of bread that we hold in our hand symbolizes His body, in which Christ took our own sins in His own body and made the payment for sin by dying on that cross. His death in place of mine. His death in place of yours. He died so we could live. That's what we celebrate tonight. That's what we commemorate tonight. We don't come here. This is not pumpernickel bread. This is not rye or honey wheat. Or put some sweet flavor in your mouth and really enjoy it. We're not here for the purpose of tasting bread, friend. This has no taste. In fact, you can't wait for the juice to come as soon as you get the bread in your mouth. Saps all the saliva out of your mouth. Dries you up. You ought to be the one having to talk after that. Huh? But we're not here to taste bread. We're here to remember. We're not here to have our palate coated and tasted and taste that bread. No, we're here to remember. We're here to remember that Jesus Christ, in the Old Testament, they had to get a goat. And they had to kill the goat, the high priest, and put the blood on the mercy seat. And that blood of that sin goat, on which the Lord's lot fell, covered their sins for a year. Paid the penalty of their sins for a year. And by the way, the Lord's lot fell on Jesus Christ. He was the lamb slain before what? The foundation of the world. He was God's chosen lamb. I don't know how in the world, unless somebody's just having a hard time, could ever insinuate that Jesus coming to the cross caught God by surprise. Make for a sweet story, but it doesn't make for good doctrine. That was appointed before the foundations of the world, friend. That Jesus would come. He was God's lamb. And the Lord's lot fell on Jesus. And because the Lord's... And what did Jesus pray in the garden? Father, not my will, but what? Thine be done. That's the Lord's lot. That was the Lord's will, God's will for Jesus. And so when you hold that piece of bread in your hand, remind yourself that this pictures the body of Jesus Christ. And He took my sins in His own body on that tree. And He died to pay the penalty of death, penalty of sin, that I owed. And we'll forever be in debt to Him for that. Forever. But that's not all. This is not all that happened on Calvary. There's so much that happened on Calvary, we don't have time to go into it, but just these two goats. This is not all that happened on Calvary. Not only did Christ die, not only did He die to pay the penalty for our sin, the penalty of sin's debt, He shed His blood. And it says in verse number 26 of Hebrews chapter 9, "For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Well, what did that second goat symbolize? That second goat symbolized the fact that not only was the children of Israel's sin penalty paid by the death of that first goat, that second goat, that scapegoat, symbolized that the defilement of their sin was removed from the presence of God. They were clean in His sight. He did not look at them. He did not look at them as forgiven sinners. He looked at them as justified. He looked at them as if they'd never sinned. Their sins were removed by that head, by that goat. That fit man took that goat out in the wilderness. And so here it is. Jesus Christ puts away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. This was done by the shedding of His blood. When we pass the juice cup tonight, not wine that's fermented grape juice and is half spoiled, rotten. Pure juice that symbolizes the pure, precious, spotless blood of Jesus Christ. When you hold that glass, that little cup in your hand, it's a picture of the shed blood of Jesus. Wait a minute now. Not just covering our sin, but taking it away. Taking it away. That's what I told that girl yesterday. You know, I told her, I had my New Testament, I took this out. And it had elderly parking written on it. And I turned it over like that so she wouldn't see that, so it wouldn't be in writing. And put that under my little New Testament. I said, there's a big difference in that card being covered and that card being taken away. There's a big difference. If it's covered, I can find it. If it's taken away, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Amen. And in my heart's a song, and there should be. Say, yeah, but you don't know the difficult. Yeah, but you're saved. So there should be a song in your heart. It's tight financially. Well, you can still sing. Just, I'm squeezed. Let's sing a little higher. Why? Because they're gone. They're not there. That's what the blood of Jesus Christ did. That's pictured by that scapegoat. That scapegoat went out into the wilderness. Into a land not inhabited. Nobody lived there. Nobody looked that goat up. He's gone. Never seen again. That's kind of what Jesus did for us when He saved us. Kind of what He did for us when He shed His blood. Took the sins, not just covered them, but took them away. And God is no longer reminded of those sins. Jesus is the fulfillment of all aspects of that offering in that chapter. Aaron's the high priest, qualified and chosen to offer the sacrifice. And Jesus is our high priest, qualified and chosen to be our high priest and offer the sacrifice for our sin. You got the sin offering goat who died so that sin's penalty could be paid. And Jesus, in His body on the tree, took our sins and died. He gave up the ghost. He was dead. They didn't think He was. They ran that spear up between His rib cage. And all the blood came out. Water. He died so that our sin, the penalty of our sin, could be paid. That scapegoat that took those sins into that uninhabited land where no man could ever locate them. Jesus Christ took our sins. He is that fit man that we read about in Leviticus 16. A fit man took that goat into the wilderness and turned it loose, never to be seen again. Jesus did it all Himself. You know what we got in the cross of Calvary? We got two in one. We got two in one. Not only do we get the sins penalty paid in full, we got the defilement of our sin washed away once and for all by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Two in one when Jesus sacrificed Himself on Calvary. And let me say, friend, that those sins are not only paid for, but removed from the very presence of God as far as the east is from the west. And I've told you before, that's an unmeasurable distance. You can measure north to south. If you got a long enough tape measure, or one of those little wheels, got enough digits on it, you could walk from North Pole to South Pole. Look at here. But when you start walking east, you can keep walking east and you can never stop. Round and around you'd go in the same west. There's no way to measure the distance between east and west. That's how far our sins are removed from us tonight. When you get that little piece of bread and you get that cup of juice, we're not here to taste the bread and taste the juice and, oh, how good. No, we're here to remember how precious our salvation is. We got two in one. John Wesley, famous preacher, of course, and brother Charles Wesley, but John Wesley was riding his horse through a place known as Hounslow Heath over in the old country late one night. And as he was riding that horse, he was singing a hymn at the top of his voice. It's one of his favorite hymns. When all of a sudden, he jumped out of the bushes and off the side of the road there, and a man in a gruff voice hollered out, "Halt!" And he grabbed the bridle of the horse's reins there, and he jerked the horse to a halt. And he looked up at John Wesley, and he said, "Your money or your life. Give me your money or your life." And Wesley, the story said, Wesley emptied his pockets. He had just a few coins. That's all he had. And then he invited the man to go through his saddlebags. He said, "Help yourself." And all the robber found in the saddlebags was books. That's all he found. No. And boy, he was disgusted and mad. And so he started to flee and run away. So, and Wesley watched him and watched him go a few steps. And John Wesley said, "Stop! Come here. I want to give you something. I got something more to give you." And for some strange reason, the thief, the would-be thief, stopped and he turned around and came up to John Wesley. And John Wesley looked at him and he said these words. He said, "Friend, you may live to regret this sort of a life in which you are engaged. And if you ever do, remember this. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin." The man turned and ran away. That's all Wesley said. And Wesley watched him run. And he prayed, "Dear God, please use the Scripture in that man's heart. Bring him to salvation." Years later, when Wesley was an elderly man, he was preaching in a church in a town. He preached it several times, knew most of the congregation. At the close of the service, he was standing at the doors. The people filed by and they were all shaking his hand. He knew most of them. But then a man came, didn't recognize a stranger, and took his hand, held it firmly. He said, "You remember me? I am the man that robbed you as you rode your horse through Hounslow Heath. And the words you spoke, I never got away from. I'm an honest businessman now, live in a city called a city not too far away." He said, "I'm making an honest living, and I am a born-again child of God." He took Wesley's hand, and he put it up to his lips. Pressed Wesley's hand up to his lips like this. And bowed his head, and he said, "To you, sir, I owe my all." And Wesley said, Nay, friend. You owe it to the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, who cleanseth us from all sin." Amen. Isn't that a good story? I love that. Amen. I hope you're washed in the blood tonight. If you trusted Christ as your Savior, you got two in one. Got two sacrifices in one offering. He not only paid for the penalty of your sin, if you trust Him, He removes your sin as far as the east is from the west, into that uninhabited land where nobody could ever look Him up. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. And when we get that bread and that juice tonight, remember that. Let's thank Him for our wonderful salvation. Amen. My dear Father in heaven, I love You tonight. You are a great God. Who would ever have put this great plan of Yours? Nobody else could have done it but You. And Lord, each one of us tonight, I hope at least, each one of us can go back in the days, weeks, years of our mind. Think back to when Jesus saved us. Think back to when the Word of God convicted us and brought us to Christ. And here we are tonight, Lord, sitting not only in a free country, but Lord, sitting with our sin debt paid in full. And our sins removed as far as the east is from the west. We still have sin problems. We still have to deal with our fellowship, that relationship with You. But, oh God, positionally tonight, we're in Jesus. What sins are You talking about? I don't remember them anymore. There ought to be a song in our heart. There ought to be a hallelujah to God. And thank you, God, for your great love. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anybody here tonight? Brother Angel, I'm not saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I would spend eternity. Please pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you lift a hand this evening? Let me pray for you. Anybody like that? Not sure that I'm saved. Is there anybody here tonight that has never followed the Lord in believers' baptism? Anybody? You came tonight to be baptized. Then, friend, prepare your heart for the Lord's table. Born again, people of God, let's prepare our hearts to receive that bread, that juice, which does not bring salvation, but it pictures that which we already possess by the grace of God. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. The Lord speaks to your heart tonight. You may use the altar. Paid it all to Him. I'd like to ask the men who are going to serve the Lord's table tonight to come make your way down to the front, please, on the front pews, behind your seats. Seated, please, if you will.